This is ESPN Radio.
Cancer can take away all my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind, it cannot touch my heart, and it cannot touch my soul.
I want you to know that your will to live and to fight cancer can make all the difference in the world.
Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow.
It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love.
Live. Fight like hell.
Make your mess your message. Find the meaning behind whatever it is that you're going through, because everybody's got something.
I will never give up. And I will never give in.
You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, and ESPN2. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we got a lot going on today. Today is going to be a sports show. We've got plenty of that to go around here. College football has certainly been very giving of coaching carousel headlines. We've got plenty to look forward to and back on in the world of the NFL. But for anyone that's listened to ESPN Radio over the years, you know that this time of year, the beginning of college basketball season, we are always a part of something called V-Week. We kick off V-Week each and every year around this time on Giving Tuesday to support the V Foundation for Cancer Research. It is something near and dear to so many people here. Obviously, started in the memory of the late Jim Valvano, the great NC State men's basketball coach who authored that phrase, "Don't give up, don't ever give up," that has led to now years and tons of dollars donated all in the name of cancer research, dollars that you can continue to donate. And we will encourage you all show as we talk to Bob Valvano, the brother of the late Jim Valvano, Shelley Smith, Rod Gilmore, all of our friends and coworkers who have battled this dreaded disease and who in large part have survived because of the things done and the research done because of these dollars given. V.org/donate is where you can donate all show long. And Chris, this is something we make no bones about every year, as you know. We are here to get into your wallets, because the only way that we can all help beat this, that we can all help the doctors and the people that actually are going to be hands-on in this fight, is by being giving of our time and money.
No doubt about it, Mike. I'm going to co-sign and retweet everything you said and add to it one of the things that I've always operated by when talking at various fundraisers, and I think it applies when it comes to the work of the V Foundation. Everybody has something to give, whether it's your talent, whether it's your time, or in this case, your resources. We're asking that you consider donating to the V Foundation to continue their mission in cancer research and battling this horrible disease that's impacted so many people, so many friends, so many family members, so many people that are a part of the ESPN family. So we just want to encourage folks to consider giving. It's the holiday season, and so, you know, this is one of those times where folks pride themselves on being cheerful givers. This is a worthy cause that means so much, that means everything to the people that are involved in it. So I would encourage everyone to participate and give into the V Foundation if you can.
Yeah, and I know we've heard it many times in many ways, but unfortunately, very few of us get to any point in our life without cancer touching someone that we love, someone that we know, and someone that we care about here. And all of this is to ensure that that next person, that next generation of people, have a better chance of beating this than the one that came before it. So, again, 100% of your donation goes to cancer research, because they have a separate endowment that covers all the administrative fees. Again, v.org/donate is where you can go for that. We'll be reminding of you that all day long here on Canty and Golic Jr. And listen, this is a day where we often encourage people to share what's on their heart in this aspect. If you want to do that, you can hit us up, 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. 3776. You can be a part of Canty and Golic Junior Nation. That's on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. College football season's heating up. The fans are hyped. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. And as we said, in the midst of all this, we will still do the sports show with you because, Chris, I don't know if you saw, a little thing happened last night that kind of changed the last 24 hours for me and a lot of other people that went to a school draped in blue and gold pretty substantially.
Yeah, I saw that headline that broke this morning, and it's just crazy to think that Brian Kelly, one of the most successful coaches in recent memory at Notre Dame, is deciding that he wants to shift gears and try his luck down in the SEC West, going to be the next head coach of LSU and coaching in a division that has arguably the greatest college football coach in the modern era in Nick Saban. So this is a huge shift when it comes to the paradigm of college football. And we've all said that the most important conference in the landscape of college football is the SEC. And I think the addition of Brian Kelly just goes to reiterate that fact. And looking at the coaches that LSU has had in recent memory, even though they've had short stints in their tenures, not necessarily working out long term, both of those coaches, Les Miles and Ed Orgeron, walked away from LSU with national championships. And to me, this move that Chip Kelly is making is all about being able to put himself in a situation to have the talent base that allows him to compete for national championships. Now, that's crazy to think, considering where his team is right now, right there on the outside looking in when it comes to the college football playoffs. And depending on what happens in conference championship week, could potentially have an in to be one of the final four teams when the committee sets the field for the playoffs. So it's crazy to think that Brian Kelly is leaving Notre Dame for the opportunity to win a national championship while he has a team that theoretically is still in it to compete for a chip.
Yeah, Chris, I was shocked but not surprised was the way I've described this to people, right? Because we had heard these things kind of being floated out there. It's silly season in coaching. And so as we've had some of the biggest jobs in college football open up, Brian's name's been connected to a lot of that before. And I look at it for exactly the reason that you just mentioned. Brian leaves Notre Dame as the winningest head coach in the school's history. He passed Newt Bleeping Rockne this year. That means something.
That's a
around
big deal.
That campus.
That's a big deal.
It's a huge deal around those parts, but we know it hadn't been punctuated with that national championship, and there is that level when you're at Notre Dame, and there's that level in college football, and based on Brian's experience in the BCS title when I was there and in their two trips to the playoff, I could understand if he felt like there was somewhat of a ceiling on what he was going to be able to accomplish. He had been there for 12 years, and as you put it, the last three coaches that have coached at LSU have won national titles. Exactly one of them is a better head coach than Brian Kelly, that being Nick Saban, who's now at Alabama. So I could totally understand him looking at this situation and saying, hey, there's an opportunity there. They're going to pay me a boatload of money to go down there and operate with much more freedom than he has at Notre Dame. And Chris, I know that might be tough for some people who share my alma mater to swallow, but I think we've always known that's the reality of a place that has some of the academic restrictions that Notre Dame's operated on.
Yeah, and I think for the alumni and former players like yourself, there's a difference between the perception versus the reality when it comes to the dynamic of the college football landscape. And it's a lot easier to get the talent that you're looking for at one of those SEC schools like an Alabama or like an LSU than it is to deal with an entity like Notre Dame, where the administration and the academic restrictions are going to be a priority when it comes to the student athletes that you're going to allow to come to that school. So, yeah, it's a higher degree of difficulty when it comes to competing at the highest levels of the sport at Notre Dame. But because of what you said about Brian Kelly's history in the place of Notre Dame football, I feel like there's a lot more leash, there's a lot more runway when it comes to dealing with down seasons and dealing with the program being in transition and trying to build itself back up. You know that you're not going to get that same grace when you go to LSU, especially with the financial commitment that that school is making to Brian Kelly. You got to think that they threw a bag of money at him, and we haven't gotten the details of the financials yet, but it's going to be a heck of a lot more than what Notre Dame is currently paying him. So for him to come in there and realizing that the standard, the expectations year to year are going to be a lot different than what they are at Notre Dame, I just think there's a pressure aspect of it that's being understated, because we talked about it before on this very show. Ed O won a national championship a couple of years ago and had the number one overall pick in Joe Burrow. And they decided a year after they gave him a contract extension that they were going to move on from him in that 2021 would be his last season. So that just shows you that there's not a lot of leash when it comes to not living up to the expectations that LSU establishes for their head coaches. So for Brian Kelly, this clearly is a move about adding to his legacy, enhancing his resume. And the only thing that's missing, like you said, is a national championship. And for a coach that's in his 60s, that starts to become more and more important as he's, you know, moving along and getting to the back nine of his coaching career.
Yep, 12 years into his job at Notre Dame, you could absolutely sell me on the new challenge aspect of all of this. And the risk-reward is a pretty easy value prop for him there because, like you mentioned, the difference between him and O is Brian Kelly's already a made man. You look at the way everyone has talked about him in the lead-up to all of this over the course of this season, and it's he's a winner everywhere he goes. He's someone who's been able to do one of the more underrated coaching jobs in college football. He has a sterling reputation as what he's already been able to do there. There is one thing left to do, and so if he gets that done and then a few years later is shown the door, so be it. He's already accomplished so much. That is going to be much less of a risk, so that's why Brian Kelly made the move. Coming up in about 30 seconds, we will hear from Notre Dame's athletic director, Jack Swarbrick, on how he digested this decision and get into not only what comes next for Notre Dame, what they'll look for next in a head coach, but what happens in the immediacy with the college football playoff rankings that we're going to have coming up tonight. We will get to that after this word from AT&T. Now, if there are any friends and family members you haven't talked to in a while, don't worry, it's never too late to reconnect. To help, AT&T is offering deals on the latest smartphones. It's not complicated. Everybody deserves something new. So AT&T is giving new and existing customers their best deals on every smartphone, even the latest ones. Restrictions and exceptions may apply. Visit att.com for details.
A shocking move in college football as LSU is set to hire Notre Dame's Brian Kelly
as the school's next head coach.
Bug, LSU, your school.
Well, simply put, Brian Kelly's won everywhere he's been, and I think the one thing he doesn't have is a national championship.
My first reaction wasn't surprise. I can understand what is appealing about this to Brian Kelly.
Kenny Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. So yeah, Brian Kelly is the head coach of LSU. Now, after 12 years at Notre Dame, leaving as the school's all-time winningest head coach here, LSU is getting a coach that knows how to steer the ship. Brian Kelly is going to come in and have a plan right away. He is one of the better CEO coaches in college football in terms of having a direction, understanding the strengths, weaknesses, and limitations of the spot, and immediately knowing how he's going to navigate this thing. His counterpart at that in Notre Dame was the athletic director, Jack Swarbrick. He spoke earlier today at a press conference and talked about the news of Brian Kelly departing from Notre Dame.
Brian did not come to me, which frankly I appreciated, with some opportunity to match the offer. When we talked, he indicated that he was resigning to take another position. He thanked me for the opportunity the university had provided to him. Thanked me for our friendship, which I very much appreciated, and I wished him all the best. I was not surprised. There had been enough in the weeks leading up that gave me a pretty strong sense that there might be other things that were attracting Brian. And then, of course, social media got very active during the day yesterday, so I was not surprised.
Yeah, that might be the understatement of the century there by Jack, who also went on to say Notre Dame would not name an interim head coach at this time, as they will be dormant during college football's conference championship weekend in waiting for what happens in the final round of playoff rankings, and also mentioned there would not be a search firm hire, that Jack Swarbrick, the AD, would be conducting the coaching search here. So, Chris, for the timing of all this, Brian Kelly now leaves a Notre Dame team that's going to wait to find out how close to the top four it is in the college football playoff rankings tonight. So before we get to potential names for this hire here, how much does that timing bother you, if at all?
Oh, yeah, I feel a way about Brian Kelly deciding that he was going to leave his team when they actually have a chance to accomplish the ultimate goal, which is winning a national championship. Now, say what you will about what this team is in comparison to the upper echelon teams in college football. If you want to stack them up against the Georgias of the world or Michigan, like even Cincinnati, if you want to go there, like I just feel a way about the head coach leaving his team when they actually have an opportunity to accomplish the goal that he's actually going to LSU to get done. It doesn't make sense to me, Gojo. I don't get it at all. Like, he's leaving Notre Dame because he feels like he can consistently compete at the highest levels of the sport at LSU. Cool. Not going to argue that part of it. But your team has an opportunity to make it to the playoff, to be one of four teams, to be two wins away from a national championship. I don't understand how you punt on that and you leave the kids that you've been working with throughout the course of this season and probably the years leading up to this season in order to put yourselves in this position. That part of it doesn't make any sense. It feels foul. And I think the NCAA has to step in and do something, whether it's restricting coaching movement until after the bowl season or after the playoff, or if it's moving back the regular period for the signing day so it's not in early February. Like, whatever they have to do, whatever they have to explore, whatever conversations need to be had, they need to start taking place now, because this just doesn't feel right in terms of the position that it puts the kids at Notre Dame in, because they're going to be shorthanded if they get into the playoff when they're going up against the likes of Cincinnati, Michigan, and Georgia and Alabama, all of those schools. Whoever ends up being in that Final Four, if Notre Dame makes it in, they'll be at a deficit in comparison to those other teams, because those other teams will have their head coaches.
It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And you're absolutely right there. I will say, everything I have heard coming out of Notre Dame, coming out of that locker room, seems very resolved. This is an incredibly focused team, and one that, listen, is coming off five straight double-digit win seasons. The players that are upperclassmen in this program know how to win. They know what this takes. And so going into this, if there's a group of guys I can bet on, it's them. But you're right. This is going to put them at a disadvantage. There's no doubt about that. Brian Kelly's accolades are well-deserved in this regard. But, Chris, this to me becomes a don't-hate-the-player-hate-the-game kind of moment, right? Because as much as I want to be bothered by this as a former player, I mean, hell, I went through a coaching change. I was there when Brian Kelly got on the staff. Charlie Weiss was fired my sophomore year. But it's different because we knew things had been going poorly. We knew going into the final game of the season, this was likely going to be a coaching change made. And so it's different than having it cut off in the hope here. But you mentioned early signing period coming up in a few weeks. We got the one-time transfer rule that's going on. All the NIL stuff. Player movement is at a place that it's never been before. And so, if you're going there to go all in, like I believe Brian Kelly is at LSU, the system incentivizes you to not put off till tomorrow what you can get started on today. Signing a great transitional class. Going out there and beginning to recruit towards the future that you have bought in on and made this change to do. That's what the system incentivizes. Now, if you want to look at the landscape of the college football playoff, Chris, and say it's maybe not in the best interest to have a coach assess this situation and more or less look at it and say, maybe based on Brian's past history in the BCS title when I was there and in these two playoff runs, man, it hasn't gone so well for us in this spot here. I feel like I've got a ceiling with the groups that we've constructed here. That's going to be bad for business for the playoff going forward, and that could be a conversation they have to have.
Yeah, and I think you're bringing up two different conversations, because one is which Brian Kelly is looking at the current team that he has, and maybe he doesn't feel that they're just quite good enough to be able to get it done, even if they do backdoor their way into the playoff, right? They might not be good enough to take on the likes of Michigan. They might not be good enough to compete against a dominant Georgia team where it feels like it's them and everybody else in the college football field. But then there's also the conversation about college football playoff expansion and being able to open it up to, you know, four more teams, or being able to open it up to eight more teams to get more group of five teams in order to have a pathway for them to compete for a national title. And if Brian Kelly is looking at it and saying his team, even if they're one of four, doesn't really have a chance, then what does that say about the potential for college football playoff expansion if we're talking about the first couple of rounds of that playoff system essentially being irrelevant, because we know there's going to be a huge talent disparity between the teams at the top and the other teams that make it into the playoff field. So I think both of those things are under consideration and ultimately become a bad look from an optics standpoint for the NCAA when you have a coach in Brian Kelly whose team feels like they're poised to get into the playoff deciding that he's going to punt on it, man. The reality is that excluding Georgia, there are probably going to be four teams in the college football playoff rankings released tonight that are going to be ahead of Notre Dame.
Yep.
And all four of those teams are going to play on conference championship weekend. And Notre Dame, if two of them lose, they are absolutely going to be in, period. There is no discussion about it. So the fact is they have a legitimate shot at getting into the playoff and being one of four teams to compete for a national title. And the head coach is saying, nah, I'm all good because I don't think my team can win, and or I feel like I'll have a chance to routinely be in this spot if I go to a program in the most dominant conference in all of college football. It's a bad look for the NCAA all the way around.
I would say this, Chris. The one thing I could say in favor of expansion is what we just talked about there is still contingent on a bunch of maybes. However likely or unlikely we think it is, I wonder if it would be different if Notre Dame were already firmly inside the top four. If this was an undefeated Notre Dame team that was sitting up at maybe number two in the country, number three in the country, wherever they would be here, would the value of certainty be enough to make these coaches think twice right now? Because we're going to talk about the ripple effects of this. Luke Fickell, who's sitting at Cincinnati as the head coach right now, has been one of the names that has very much come up, floated around by various people in the media as a candidate that Notre Dame might be looking at here. And so does the certainty of Cincinnati be in the playoffs change the calculus on that? Would the certainty of being in an expanded playoff change the calculus on that? I think that's decisions that we all have to start to game out as we go forward here. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. There is a lot to digest on
yeah,
that front.
There is.
That we
yeah,
will,
there is.
That we will get to. We'll get to that. We will get to the 11-minute team meeting with Brian Kelly and the current Notre Dame crew this morning. What can really be done in these situations? And more names outside of just Luke Fickell that might pop up and should be considered for the Notre Dame head job. We will get to all of that. But coming up next, we'll explore the job that already seems like old news. Lincoln Riley is heading out to Southern California, and we'll talk about the impact on college football next on ESPN Radio.
I can't do this don't give up thing all by myself. This whole fight, this journey thing is not a solo venture. This is something that requires support.
This is ESPN Radio.
We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love. And it's very important.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty kicking off V-Week on Giving Tuesday here at ESPN Radio. The V Foundation, certainly something near and dear to everyone here. 100% of every dollar donated goes directly towards the cancer research that will hopefully continue to save the lives of many people that we all know. And because we know no one can get through life without seeing someone touched by cancer. We're going to head to the Goodyear hotline now to talk to one of our good friends, a great college football analyst in Rod Gilmore, who joins us here now. And Rod, we got plenty of college football that we certainly need to get into with you, especially some stuff going on the left coast. But you were diagnosed with multiple myeloma in 2016. You have dealt with and gone through this process. And so, you know, for you, as we get started with V-Week here, what does this all mean to you, this support for a foundation and a cause like this?
Well, Mike, thanks for having me on. It's good to connect with you and Chris. And it's an important week, an important time. I think first and foremost, I want to thank the folks who have donated to the V Foundation over the years and those who will. I think to me and other cancer patients, when we think of the V Foundation, we think of the fact that it provides hope and time. It provides hope because those of us living with cancer, you know, we need hope, and we see all the progress that's being made in research because of people donating to the V Foundation. And, you know, it gives us time because that money has led to a lot of treatments, and particularly in my case of the multiple myeloma, which is a blood cancer, there's been an increase in the number of treatments available to folks, which has helped extend the lives of blood cancer patients. There's not a cure right now for multiple myeloma, but these improvements have made it much more likely that we have more time and that we may be around for a cure. So it's with that in mind that, you know, I want cancer patients and I want everyone else to understand just how important the work is that the V Foundation is doing, and to realize that this money is really making a difference. I sort of believe we have cancer on the run. We're not that far away from really having a huge breakthrough.
And Rod, you talked about hope and that being important in the battle with cancer. As a survivor yourself, you're looked at as an inspiration for people not only that are in proximity to you, but people that are fans of ESPN that know your story. And so to all those folks out there that may be battling cancer now, or to people that have family members that are battling cancer, what advice would you give them in terms of being able to get to the other side of that, other side of that journey, the other side of that fight?
You know, it's a great question, Chris, and it's a challenge. I think what I try to let people know is that it's important to live with cancer. I don't worry about beating cancer. I worry about living a normal life and doing the things that I enjoy, the things that I love, being around the people who are important in my life, and just really appreciating all that. And, you know, that could be a challenge because treatment can limit the things that you normally, you know, want to do. And it's very easy to have a difficult time and be depressed because, you know, things change for you. And people also treat you differently because they're worried about you, but they don't know how to talk to you and ask you about things. And I try to do my best to one, live a normal life. And that means in my case, you know, with ESPN, I've not missed a college football game since I was diagnosed. And it was important to me to be able to do that. You know, doing that gives me a sense of, hey, I'm normal. I'm living my life and doing the things that I want to do. And I think that's important. And then I also try to be very, very open about my condition, what I'm going through. I want people to feel comfortable finding out more about cancer and in particular about multiple myeloma. When I was diagnosed, I didn't have any symptoms. I had no signs. I had an annual physical, and that physical revealed the blood cancer. And you guys are probably like me. You have friends, particularly male friends, who won't go to the doctor regularly and won't get an annual physical. And in my case, had I not done that, I would not be alive. You know, if you get a chance, if you get an early detection, you get a chance to fight and to live. So I encourage people to try and do that. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be open and public about my condition. I didn't want to keep it private. I wanted to, you know, try to help others understand things and to be proactive.
And as Rod Gilmore is with us here, our ESPN college football analyst, I think that testimony will certainly serve as a great reminder to people to be proactive with your health, to go out there and make sure you're doing those things and being diligent with an area that, you're right, can be all too easy for people to look the other way on at times here. And Rod, you mentioned, you know, living a normal life and doing things normally. You are a great college football analyst. We've got you here during a time where college football is as busy as it's ever been. And for you, an alumnus of the Pac-12 conference here, it got a big boost. Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma and heads to the University of Southern California here. How immediate do you expect this impact to be now that he's out there?
Did something crazy just happen in the last few minutes since we've been on the phone? Because it seems like everything is just going haywire. You know, you can't blink without something bizarre happening, you know, Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame. Listen, I had USC the other day against BYU. So, you know, we were down there for a while. And it was really kind of surreal because I'm used to being around USC and all of the pomp and circumstance and the enthusiasm and the confidence. And it felt this time like there was a toothless tiger, you know. Everyone was waiting to see what was next, but that it was no longer SC with, you know, all of the swagger. It just wasn't there. I had the sense from talking to people there that whatever USC was going to do was going to be, you know, swing for a big, big guy, a big home run. And I think they got that with Lincoln Riley. You can't question his bona fides or his offensive knowledge and his ability to recruit. He's been a problem for the West Coast the last few years, stealing elite talent out of California. So if you're talking about could this be the right guy, absolutely. What it does to the rest of the Pac-12 is going to be interesting because, you guys probably know, the culture for the Pac-12 has kind of always been, you know, we love football, but, you know, we're not going to be crazy about it. We're not going to go like the SEC. We're not going to pay the same money for head coaches and assistant coaches. And, you know, we got a little balance. Well, USC has sort of raised the bar with this hire. And they've made it clear they're going all in to compete for national championships. And the question is, will the rest of the conference come along and match? Will they decide that they need to compete at the same level as the Big Ten and the SEC when it comes to salaries, when it comes to name, image, and likeness, and when it comes to facilities? Are they going to get on the same page?
certainly a lot hangs in the balance. But like you said, a major boost and could be the rising tide that lifts a lot of ships in the case of the Conference of Champions. Rod, we always appreciate talking to you, but especially on this day at the start of this week, thanks so much. And I'm sure we'll get to talk to you again soon, as college football silly season's only just getting started.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. Listen, thanks so much. Appreciate you guys. Be well.
Awesome stuff. Rod Gilmore, again, our ESPN college football analyst, joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. And remember, bowl season's looming. Tune in Friday night for the Pac-12 championship game presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up next, Rod mentioned fits for the Pac-12, how they're unique. What does the next head coach of Notre Dame need to have in store? What qualities need to be there? And who are some of the names that fans can look forward to? We'll get to that next here. Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
We need your help. I need your help. We need money for research. It may not save my life. It may save my children's lives. It may save someone you love, and it's very important.
This is ESPN Radio.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that's what I'm going to try to do. Every minute that I have left, I will thank God for the day, for the moment I have.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we are kicking off V-Week here at ESPN. It's Giving Tuesday. V.org/donate is where you can send your money to help fight cancer, to give money towards the research that can end up changing and saving lives. We will continue to send that message throughout the day. Our thanks to Rod Gilmore, who already has joined us here, our colleague and college football analyst. And Chris, certainly a good time for him to join also because of that college football knowledge. Because now, in addition to Brian Kelly being the new head coach at LSU, that leaves yet another vacancy. Oklahoma, Notre Dame, two college football jobs, two of the big blue blood jobs sitting out there in the open here. I look at the Notre Dame job, Chris, and everyone looks for and asks for a list here of coaches that should be considered for this job. What goes into all this at a place like Notre Dame, especially at this juncture? Because you do have five double-digit win seasons under your belt. This is not the program that Charlie Weiss took over in the early 2000s and then that Brian Kelly built on when he got there in 2010. This is now a program where sustained success is the bar. And so there's got to be someone who's ready to come in here and continue that sort of CEO role and grow this thing. The names that have stuck out and the names that I would be looking for on this list and think would be appealing certainly be Luke Fickell, the head coach at Cincinnati, who no doubt from his, you know, his faith and the things that are important to him family-wise to the way he's coached football, especially in that Midwest footprint, would be appealing. Both Notre Dame coordinators and Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator, and offensive coordinator Tommy Reese, who was a former quarterback and my teammate there, who have both been exemplary at their jobs here for a few years now. And then the last two for me, Matt Campbell at Iowa State, who's been the hot Midwest coaching candidate for a while now in his rise out there. And Matt Rhule, I think, would be the one interesting name out of the NFL world, a guy who's had a ton of success in the college ranks and who is now out here in Carolina. I feel like Notre Dame could be one of those jobs that's worth picking up that phone call, Chris. Is there any name there that jumps out to you?
Yeah, I like Marcus Freeman, the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame right now, but I thought one of the telling things from Jack Swarbrick's press conference this morning is that he didn't feel the need to name an interim head coach, and even if they did, that individual wouldn't be under consideration for the head coaching job full time. So that's what I thought was a little bit strange, because it almost in a roundabout way excluded some of the in-house candidates that could potentially take over the reins. But yeah, I think Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell are both names that would be interesting, because they're Midwest guys. They understand that footprint when it comes to recruiting. I think the interesting part about the Notre Dame job is the academic restrictions and how that impacts strategy and roster construction, because you're not going to be able to get certain kids into school because of the stringent academic requirements. So that's the part of it that adds another layer to it. And I thought a name that should come up in the conversation is Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach for Northwestern, because you have to deal with some of those same academic requirements at that school. And the Big Ten is one of the better conferences when we start talking about the Power Five and the overall competition. So I just think in the direction that they should be moving in is a young head coach, somebody that that understands what it's going to take in order to recruit, in order to get the kind of talent that it will take to be consistently competitive and to put Notre Dame where they expect to be year in and year out. But then somebody that also understands the DNA of the program. So that's why I would lean toward the two in-house candidates that you mentioned. But I also wouldn't be surprised if Luke Fickell ends up getting a job, just because Notre Dame has gone to that well once before, and it seemed like it worked out pretty well for him with Brian Kelly. So that would probably be my lean on this. I would go with Marcus Freeman, and I get that he's never been a head coach before. He's 35 years old, but I think there is some benefit to being able to have somebody that's a little closer in terms of the age gap with the players that they're trying to relate to and ultimately lead in order to compete for national championships.
Yeah, I don't think any of these names on the list would disappoint me here. Luke Fickell would probably be at the top for me just because there's some of that experience, especially now recently, dealing with big program problems, dealing with the noise surrounding a playoff push, dealing with the things that come with that, and someone who's going to continue to push the university, because I think Brian Kelly and Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director, deserve a lot of credit for what they have done modernizing facilities there, the new indoor, what they've done with the stadium. The dome does not sell itself anymore. That has changed. This is modern college football, and the rest of this are things you need to do to keep up with the Joneses. And if that was part of Brian Kelly's decision, you're going to need a coach who's comfortable continuing to push the university to go with what's next. We're brought to you by Wrangler. You think you know Wrangler jeans? Check out Wrangler.com today to discover new styles and all the latest denim trends. Coming up next, back at Monday Night Football, are we seeing the demise of the once great Seahawks? Next on ESPN Radio.